This last phrase is quite significant for my life, because when I was in my lowest point in my life, the Lord gave me that passage many times. I had engaged with Derya, and we were going to go to Bible school together, and I had big hopes and big plans for my life. I just felt like I've sorted my life out. You know, I finished college. I did good in college. I was good as a Christian in college, so I thought, you know, I did well. And I just felt that was awesome. I felt that was the bee's knees. And then I found Derya, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to get married to her. I'll do it, you know. And then I thought, I will go to Bible school. I didn't really pray it through, to be honest, all. I was just on a roll, so to say. And we decided, let's go to Bible school in Bethel. You know Bethel. It's awesome, isn't it? School of Supernatural Ministry. But yeah, sounds good. Sounds good enough. We'll get the money. Till the Lord said, stop, and kind of broke my life down for his glory, really, for his purposes. But I was in the lowest of my low. Some of you know this story. Derya went for a real fallout with her parents, who were non-Christians, freaked completely out. Who is this Christian lad getting married to my daughter? They must have thought, going away to some other part of the world. And they really stood against us. And it kind of broke our engagement for a while. I mean, Terry was so down, we had to take the ring off. And my life just crumbled. My hopes about, you know, following Jesus and going to Bible school crumbled. About having a wife crumbled. I don't know what I was going to do. I was down in the mud in some ways. But then the Lord gave me this scripture. I was praying, first of all, and I felt to read that bit, Proverbs 3. So open the Bible, read that bit, and it really hit me when I read, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. And it started to take the weight off me. Then Martin Rudik was in Estonia that same time, and he had the prophetic word for me, and he said, I just feel from Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on your own understanding, and he will straighten your path. I'll go for a bit. And then, lastly, next morning, I was really down still, and I watched the VeggieTales episode. They're the best, aren't they? It was Gideon, you know. And Gideon was in a similar place that I was. He was down in the mud. You know, he was worried like I was, and he prayed. And he quoted that. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and he will straighten your path. We're talking about guidance here. And what I want to really emphasize tonight is God has a plan. You know, it might always not feel like that. We've been told constantly to work our lives out in school, most of all. What are you going to do for the next 5 years? Have you got it worked out? Where are you going to get your internship? Where are you going to go to college? What are you going to be? I'm 16! Who are you going to be? You know, and it's like, when I take Miriam for a bike ride, the funny thing is, she's just got a little bike, you know, 12-inch tires, and she's going, she's moving very slowly, but she's going, and but she looks straight down. That's the funny thing. She looks straight down, and there's a tree comes. She goes, whoa, whoa. I think she's bound to hit something. But the truth is, we don't see far ahead. I thought, yeah, that's like us, actually. We claim to be wise, and people might say, I've got, oh, my life worked out, you know, I got my next 5 years booked. I'm going to, like I did, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that. And it's all going to work out for me. But actually, God says, don't live like that. Jesus said it many times. Don't live like that. Trust in me. That's the first thing I want to tell you tonight. Trust in the Lord because he has a plan. It says a bit further on in Proverbs that through wisdom, he created the universe. Through understanding, he founded this world. Now, the world tries to figure out a way how this all is a coincidence, how you're an accident. They work hard and hard and use all their intelligence to kind of figure out how this world could happen as a mistake. But the truth is, it's a lie. It's a veil over people's faces that it's all a mistake. Your life is on your own hands. You have to work it out. It's a big lie. Actually, it started with understanding from the beginning. Somebody had a plan when he made this world. When God said, let there be light, he had a massive plan. I mean, the plan was incredible. The plan incorporated every human being who was ever going to be, ever going to live. incorporated me and you. He's got a perfect plan ahead of you. But like I said, not always can we rely on our own understanding. So Andy's going to come and tell you a little bit about that.
Hey. So yeah, I'm going to talk a bit about that part of the Proverbs where it says, do not lean or do not depend on your own understanding. But first, I just want to get one thing clear, okay? The people in here who are at school, uni, college, whatever, you've got exams at the moment. This is not an excuse not to revise for your exams. If you want to be the bee's knees like Carl was, revise. See, what it says is, it's not saying that understanding isn't important. It's saying, do not depend on it. Carl was talking about how important it is to trust in God. And to trust in someone means you've got to have faith in them. But it also means that you have to have understanding. You have to understand what you're putting faith in. Imagine if you were to have faith without understanding, you would just be blind faith. It would be like saying, oh, you know, I'm really trusting God at the moment. Oh, that's great. What are you trusting him in? No, just, you know, trust. Trusting. Yeah. What is trust if you don't have anything to trust them with? And then on the opposite side is this idea of depending on understanding. It's now you're saying, actually, I've got this one figured out. I've got this. I don't need you, God, for this. I don't need to trust you here. I can do this alone. I can do this on my own. And the direction you're then taking, you might not feel it, but it's actually a rejection of God. It's perfectly fine to think, oh, you know what, this is easy. God, you've got a lot on your plate. Let me do this one. We'll get back later. But the direction you're facing is now away from God. And that's a dangerous road. It's the same road Adam and Eve took at the beginning when they decided, actually, we don't need to trust God in what's right and what's wrong in the world. We can eat the apple and we can decide for ourselves what's good and bad. It's that same rejection, and that's a bad rejection. Carl was saying that God's got this big plan and we need to trust it. But sometimes we want to see the bigger picture straight away. And have you ever played this game? It's where you're given a picture of something and it's really close up and you've got to guess what it is. Well, we're going to play that game now. It's going to get interesting, folks. Any ideas what that is? Bread. Bread's a good one. Sand. Cool. I was thinking, you know, it looks kind of metally, like rust, maybe. Breadstick. Your bed. Oh, dear. Yeah, let's keep this clean. Okay, shall we see what it is? Da-da. Almond, obviously. Come on. Duh. Okay, this next one's a bit easier. Let's try this one. What we got there? Come on. It's also close, maybe. I can see that. What was that? Speaker. Yeah, maybe. Bit shy. Let's see what it is. It's a battery. It's a battery. Okay, we've got one more. Let's just do one more. Okay. This is better than a preach. Come on. A sword. Oh, we got one. Pencil. Well done. There we go. See, some people have good understanding. Don't lean on it. Don't depend on it. So there's a point to this, okay? The idea is our vision of our lives is like that zoomed in picture, okay? We can't see the full image. And we can be sure that it's some sort of bread. You know, our life's bread. We're bread, bread, bread. I'm going to do bread. I'm going to be bread. It makes sense. It's what I'm made for. That's who I am. I'm bread. Actually, no, you're an almond. Okay? If you're writing notes, make sure you get that one down. A-L-M-O-N-D. So we have this desire to want to know what the full picture is and try to second guess it. But the truth is we're not actually supposed to know that big picture. That's not for us to see. Ruby Wax, I don't know if you know a celebrity. She's been doing a lot of work for mental health issues and raising awareness, and she's just recently got an OBE for it. And it was Mental Health Awareness Week not long ago, and she was on all sorts of news programs getting interviewed. And they asked her, what do you think the biggest cause of mental health problems is? And she said, oh, it's stress. She said that over the last century, she's noticed that stress has become a bigger problem and a bigger cause of mental problems and mental health issues than ever before. And she blames news and media and social media for this. And she raised an interesting point. She was saying, it's nowadays impossible to go by your day without being bombarded by reports of wars going on at the other side of this planet, or an economic crisis that means we're going to be out of money by tomorrow. And then you might go to your social media and you're reading about all these celebrities you must now look like, these clothes you must wear, how to act in order for people to like you, 10 things you didn't know about yourself that this page can tell you. And how can our minds process all this information? See, we weren't made to see the bigger picture that God has, but we want to second guess it, and we start. What we end up seeing is all these little zoomed-in pictures from all these different places, and we're trying to piece them together to make up this giant solution to the world. And I mean, I don't want to put words into your father's mouth, Emily, but we can often see horrible things, and we'll choose to lean on our understanding, depend on our understanding, and forget to trust God in it. And so what we can end up coming to, the process of putting all this stuff together and trying to find out what it all means, you end up seeing, actually, this world is horrible and nobody likes me, and how can no one think I'm good in a bad world? You start to lose that hope. You start to feel like there's nothing here. And when we lean on our understanding, we forget these things. We might feel like all the men in our lives are gonna walk away and leave us. But it's not our job to solve the world's problems. I'm just one guy. I can't fix the economic crisis, I'm sorry. We can't fix all the wars, stop all wars. We can't make everyone like us. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. Everyone's going to have a problem with you one way or another. But the good news is, there was a guy who did find the solution to the world's problems. His name was Jesus. And he paid the price for the biggest problem in the world, the core to it all, which is sin. And he lived a good enough life and was good enough that we can all choose to believe in him, choose to accept what he did, and trust in his promises, like Emily has. Emily has chosen to trust God and know that God won't walk out of her life. How awesome is that? There might be some people in here today who don't know Jesus or haven't chosen to trust Jesus yet. And Carl's going to go up in a minute, but at the end, there's going to be a chance for you to choose to trust him. So please keep listening, and I promise you won't regret it. Carl.
I feel like all the men walk out for my life. You know, I haven't got any men in my life, actually. There's three little girls in Deria. But also there's something awesome that David says in one of the Psalms. It's Psalm 139. And he's just worshiping God. God knows everything about him. God knows when I lie down. God knows when I wake up. God knows when I sit down. That's what it says. God knows what I'm thinking before I think it. But he also says that, you know, he knew me before my body was formed in the womb. And before I was born, he wrote out all the days of my life. Before any of them happened, he ordained all the days in my life. See, that's the plan of God, actually. He's written out for you in a book. That's the truth. There's a book in heaven that when God created you, he wrote out his plan for your life. Now, there might be another book. There might be a book that you live in. Not the Bible, but the book that maybe you live in. Maybe you're not submitted your life into the hands of God. But imagine there is a book where God wrote out everything he had for you. All his plans, every day was written out for you. And you know, it says in the Bible that when the great day comes, when Jesus comes back, they will open the books. Daniel says that in his visions, and John says it in the Revelation. You know, I saw the books opened, the heavenly books opened. One of them is the book of life, where everyone who knows Jesus is written down by name. And if you're in that book, if you know Jesus, you know, you have a home with him in heaven. And the other book that David was talking about, that David saw in his vision, was the book of his plan for your life. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before any of them ever happened. Imagine reading that book and realizing you lived your own life. You see, Jesus speaks of a story of a man who was doing really well. It's Luke 12, 16. He's doing really well. He's a farmer and he's getting loads of crops. And they're doing really well with the crops. And they think, oh, I'm so blessed. What will I do now? I know. I'm going to build bigger barns and bigger storehouses. And then I'm just going to relax and sit and enjoy my life and eat and be merry and die. And Jesus says, what an evil man. You know, you will die tonight. And who will get all your wealth? It's pointless to live for wealth and not have a rich relationship with God. That's what Jesus said. You know, we can plan out our life and pursue something that's actually nothing to do with God. And actually, there's another plan for us that's not from God. Somebody else is actually drawing you to a different path. Like Emily was saying, the things happening in her life, those horrible things, drawing her to not trust God, drawing her. I mean, Christianity is not for the faint of heart. You need to be incredibly bold, but the Holy Spirit will give you that boldness. But I got to tell you, it'll take some boldness to be a Christian. Not everything that God plans you to do, you will be able to do. If the Israelites came to the Red Sea, they couldn't cross it. I mean, what the heck were they going to do? This is reality, guys. You might have to do something, but you got a sickness and you can't do it. My sister was unable to get children. She had this brain disease that she gets hormones in her body that stops her from getting children. For a long time, she could get any children. Then we prayed and prayed. She got a son. And for a long time again, she couldn't get any children. And that son was saying, his name is Joshua, Mom, I want a brother or sister. She's only young, you know, kiddie language. And Maria, my sister, said, well, I can't do anything. It's in the hands of the Lord. And this little boy ran to the other room, kneeled down and said, Jesus, give me a brother. And she's pregnant just now. And it's incredible what the Lord can do. What I'm saying is, it's not always possible. You might have a sickness in your life that will stop you from doing something. It doesn't mean you're not meant to do it. You might have a financial issue in your life that stops you from achieving something. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you can't lean on your own understanding. See, in that book that God has written for you, there's incredible things in it, things you could never imagine you could do. Do you want to live a boring life and just get a mortgage and try to pay it off and then make it somehow? Or do you want to live a life of fire? You know, Reinhard Bonnke was a young boy, and he was a family of six kids, and he was the second youngest, five-year-old boy when he was escaping Germany after the Second World War, when Germany was bombed to bits when they lost the war, when the Nazis were taken out. And he was a German family with kids running out from the town as the Russian planes came in, and they were literally chasing bullets. That mom with six kids, her husband was away, had six kids, and for their lives they were running to get on these trucks that were taking refugees out. None of the soldiers would have them. Everyone for their own lives running. The war is lost. And she's praying all the time. And the kids are like looking at her mom, you know. She's praying, Jesus, help us. Finally, they get on a truck. They started throwing the kids onto the trucks. And once the kid was on, they would take the mom as well because the soldiers didn't want to have a kid. So they get on these trucks. And she's constantly praying. But what happened? This young Reinhard Bonnke saw her mother pray. And finally, they got on his boat. The boat was bombed. I mean, they were driving over ice tracts, over iced lakes and things that was bombed full of holes, driving with rocks on ice, trying to escape. And God was guiding them, guiding them. This Reinhard Bonnke, after the end of the story, said, I saw this woman of faith, and I wanted that relationship she had with God, because she prayed us through the fall of Germany. And you know, this Reinhard Bonnke had a vision of God in his life, and he couldn't live his life for anything else but for Jesus. He had a dream to go to Africa. You know this story. And he was younger than me when he was already in Africa with his wife. And you know, in the end, he was an evangelist, preaching and preaching. He preached to millions and millions of people in one meeting. There was more than a million people saved. Incredible favor in his life. But you know, it's God's plan written for him. All the plans we have are different, but they are incredible. And God's written it out for you. You know, Reinhard Bonnke, his ministry has brought more than 50 million people to Jesus. Now, everyone knows Hitler, who killed about 5 million Jews. That Satan rises up these people. It's the plan of Satan, this work in this world. It's the work of Antichrist. And the world likes to like boast about it and make it big. But actually, Reinhard Bonnke saved 10 times more than Hitler ever killed. You know, it's the unsaluted heroes. You know, God can do with your life way more damage to Satan than Satan ever did to you. Amen. You know, Satan might have stolen a little bit, but God can do 10 times over. Use your life mightily. But it does mean trusting him. It does mean sometimes living on the edge. I do. I feel sometimes like my life is hanging on by a thread. You know, because I've decided to live hoping or believing that God will help me. I haven't calculated my life out. We haven't decided that, oh yeah, we can afford 3 kids. My business is going really well. And we had 3 kids, and I believe God will provide me with the business. And sometimes my car is funny, you know. It could any moment break down and cost me thousands. I might not have it. And I feel like a thread is holding it together. But you know what? That thread is Jesus. It might be invisible, but it's stronger than anything. Stronger than any wire holding up any bridge. Because Jesus knows. You know, right after Jesus said that story about this man, this evil man, content with himself, he said, you guys don't live like that. You trust in me every day. Don't you see that this world is bent double with worries? Don't you live like that. For this world is much more, this life is much more than clothes, than what you're going to wear and food, what you're going to eat. God knows all of these things. And to trust these things doesn't mean that you'll have it ready for tomorrow, but have it today. And it's an exciting life. I mean, if you read the story of Reinhard Bonnke or someone who lived with God, you wouldn't believe the odds they were against. Isn't that the exciting bit? Do you just want to live the safe life? Nothing happened with you, no miracles. You only did what you could do. And don't go to heaven and read the book that God had planned for you and compare it. This is October. No, it's not October. It's May. May the 9th, is it? 6th. May the 9th. 8th. Yeah. This is what I did. And then open God's plan for your life and see what he had for you. Or do you want to give your life to him every morning as an empty book and say, God, that's the empty. God, you write this day what you have for me. You write that day out that you planned for me. Whatever is going on in my life, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to lean in my own understanding, because I want my life to be filled to the max, to the direction you have me in, to the plan you're calling me in. Don't you want to live your life to the max and go to heaven and say, yes, I've at least done it. I might have not enjoyed all of it, but I'm enjoying it now because it was for Jesus. And truth is, you will be blessed. If you look at the Bible, all the people that lived for God in the Old Testament were incredibly blessed. They were incredibly wealthy. They did go through tribulation and persecution, but didn't mean they were wealthy. I mean, you will go through persecution, Jesus says, but you'll be incredibly wealthy. You will have money. It's God's promise. You will have health. You will have friends. Everything you set your hand on will work. That's God's blessing, along with persecutions. Exactly what Jesus said. You know, everything was given up, anything for me in this life will have 100 times over in this life, not just in heaven, in this life, along with persecutions. It's cheering you up, isn't it? But that's the truth. Because we're not living for ourselves, we're living for Jesus. And through everything that happens to us, now that I'm living in the plan of God, it has a point, it has a purpose. My suffering today has a purpose for Jesus. I mean, I'm living on the edge for Jesus, not for myself. Now that I've suffered for, paints the picture, paints the story for him. Do you want to live like that? Someone here, shall we pray? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have incredible plans for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you have an incredible book written out for us, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, right now in this room for these people, if you want to reach out to Jesus, you can lift your hand to him and ask him, I want to give you my life, Lord. Jesus, I want to follow you 100%. If you feel in your life, what if you're not living with Jesus fully? Why not, as submitting it to God, why don't you lift your hand to him right now? If there's a circumstance in your life that the Holy Spirit has touched you tonight and you want to live it differently, you want to overcome it with absolute submitting it to Jesus and having faith for it, why don't you lift your hands? If there is something you have to do that you can't do, but you want to give it to God and you want to do it for his glory, why don't you lift your hand? If there's somewhere you want to go for Jesus, but you don't know how you're going to get there, why don't you lift your hand? Just for God, not for yourself. My eyes are closed. Why don't you lift your hands to him? Holy Spirit, I just pray you would take a hold of every hand, Lord. Every person in this room, Lord, who wants to live for you and full of glory for you, who wants to have that seed planted in his heart or her heart, Lord, that Reinhard Bonnke had when he was only a young boy and saw your guidance through these horrible events. Just pray you would plant these seeds, Lord, right now. And fill these hearts, Lord, with your joy. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely awesome. So we're going to kind of close this meeting now. And there's tea and coffee served at the back and stuff you can buy, like chocolate bars and that kind of thing. So that'll all be open and available from now, pretty much. But actually, there's some people here and you actually need to do something to respond to the message tonight. If you've been listening carefully in your heart, which some of you, many of you have, God's speaking to you. You know, through Emily's testimony, she's sharing about things in her heart that disrupted her relationship with God and with other people. And the truth is, every single one of us has something in our life that's happened that's caused us in some way, shape, or form to stop trusting a certain person or a certain gender or certain people for whatever reason, or even to stop trusting God, you know, like Emily was sharing. And all these things can just take us off that wrong path that Carl was saying. God has a perfect, perfect plan for each and every single one of you who sat here. Something what's going to bring you massive joy. Something that's going to bring you freedom. But because of these hurts that we have in our life, we choose to not trust that plan. We choose to not trust God, actually, and choose to lean on our own understanding and walk in our own way and walk down our own path. Many of us do that, and we end up getting hurt more and more and more and more and more. So if that's you, and you feel like you're leaning on your own understanding, you always feel stressed, you always feel pressure, you never feel peace, you don't feel joy, you're always a bit angry at something or someone, you know. When that person says that thing, or when I see that person, I just... Maybe you don't even know what it is, but it's something that's hindering you walking out in God's perfect plan. So if that's you, as people are milling around, drinking tea and coffee and all the rest, want to give you an opportunity to come to the front and receive some prayer. There'll be a few of us down here. And if you need to chat and get some prayer, please take this opportunity to do that as well before you do the things. Amen. God bless you.